Joining me now, because it's Tech Talk Tuesday, is Eric Semmel from Tab Computers. He does a show here Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. And if you think, oh, I wouldn't understand a word, I have to say, I appreciate that you talk plain English.
We try.
Yeah, there's no... Oh, did I forget to turn your microphone on? My bad.
That's okay.
I got
we
you.
Try.
Yeah, you really do, and it's awesome.
Thank you.
Because so many people, when they try to explain something to you, and your eyes cross, and you're like, can you try that again, please? Because I don't know what you're saying. So I do appreciate that. Yeah. You said we were having a conversation off the air, and I want to bring this up because I talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
About the Surgeon General warning that they want to slap on social media. How
right.
do you feel about that?
I think it's kind of silly. I mean, any kind of government warning. I mean, do you really need a government warning to know that smoking's bad for you? I mean, if you look at social media, it's unhealthy. We kind of all kind of agree with that. The real key is to give power to the parents, right? Let the parents, if you just gave power to the parents to be able to deal with restricting access to adult sites or sites that you deem inappropriate as a parent, then you won't have to have these warnings, right? I mean, if you handed a 14-year-old a phone and knew they were not going to be able to get access to all sorts of content that you wouldn't even want to look at, you'd be more comfortable. But that's not where the government goes. They go with, here's a warning to slap on for you. But when I got my bike when I was a kid, I couldn't go down to the liquor store and buy booze. I couldn't go and go to the Quickie Mart and get an adult magazine.
Right.
Somehow, but I had access to the world with a bike, right?
Sure.
The phone's the same thing. Why can't we in government work on actually solving the problems? Ask the internet providers to make it easy. You talked about it off air, how you've done it with your kids to try to eliminate access to certain things. But it's not easy to do.
No, it's a little time consuming.
Yeah.
But to me, it was really important
right.
to be able to do this. And, you know, I have them on the family plan. I have access to all their phones on my phone.
Right.
I was limiting the time they could be on the phone. It didn't go live until 7.
Nice.
That way they could get ready for school, get on the bus, then you could check your phone.
Right.
And it would shut off or not give them access anymore at like 8 p.m.
Beautiful.
So I would do that. And so overnight, it was just a useless piece of whatever.
Right.
I never let them plug them in their room
mm-hmm.
because I didn't want them figuring that out. And I blocked all of the bad, you know, things, all the bad words, all the bad videos,
right.
all the bad books. They couldn't access any of that.
Right. But you had to take all that time to do it. Wouldn't it be nice if it's done by default and then you had to opt in? For some reason, we've got this, you know, opt in by default mentality.
Yeah.
Why is that? When I was a kid, it wasn't opt in. Like I said, I couldn't opt in to go to the liquor store. I couldn't opt in to go to the Quickie Mart and get a magazine. But for some reason, in the internet age, here you go. Here's your phone, 14-year-old. Have access to whatever you want.
That's a good idea.
I mean, the government's supposed to help us with those types of things. And all I would say the government should be considering is giving the power to the internet providers to choose how the data is sent. Now, again, net neutrality says you're not supposed to be able to do that. You don't want to throttle certain things. You don't want to be able to give certain things priority. But the idea of being able to manage your network is exactly that. So if the government said, look, by default, you're going to protect kids from access to this stuff because otherwise you're contributing to the delinquency of the minor by default.
Right.
Right. I mean, if you gave a kid a magazine, you'd be locked up.
Oh, see, now
but
that you
now
said
you give
that,
them the phone.
Okay, but you said that out loud. Now somebody's going to file a lawsuit. I'm just saying, good job. That's well, fantastic.
Well, again, it's again, if the government's going to help out, they really should help out.
Verizon's online, too. They would like to talk to you. All right. Let's talk about now the cloud hack. I
yeah.
never even thought about my cloud. I don't even know where my cloud is, but I never thought about my cloud getting hacked.
Well, you should. You should. There's these companies that are sticking their data in the cloud and not paying attention to who's protecting it or how they're protecting it in the first place.
Just so people know, like for a basic description of a cloud for a person who has no idea how any of this stuff works, this is a secret place where all of your stuff is kept.
It's other people's servers.
There you go.
It's
okay.
Other people's servers. And companies like LendingTree or Advanced Auto Parts or Ticketmaster put their stuff in the Snowflake cloud, which is literally called Snowflake. It's a Boston company. And they supposedly, according to Snowflake, didn't turn on two-factor authentication. And the bad guy simply logged in because they guessed their password or brute forced it or found the password somewhere else.
Ooh.
So that's one thing. The issue why this is so important is now the bad guys are going to be sold the data. So if you happen to have a LendingTree account, or if you happen to have a Ticketmaster, or you happen to have something with Advanced Auto Parts, the bad guys can do something called a spearfish and go right after you, Corey, specifically, and say, hey, Corey, your account number ending in XYZ PDQ has been breached. Please,
they would have my account number.
They would have whatever they put in that cloud, yes.
Okay.
And in some cases, it's detailed information. And they're going to actually sound pretty convincing.
Right.
Now, they're calling you. And if you listen to our program, no company cares about you that much to call you. So if you start with that.
Yeah, I would question why my loan company is letting me know about my,
account.
And my OS. Like, what is wrong with my operating system and you're calling me?
Well,
why isn't my operating system calling me?
Well, again, they'll actually try to get you to call a phone number. Then the phone number you call will sound like Microsoft support or what have you. Yes, we see that there's a breach. We see that your computer is compromised. Let us help you. And then they'll let you in your computer. You'll do it all because you think you're talking to the real people. And because they have all that information from the cloud, it will be very difficult to discern whether it's fake or not. We deal with a lot of this even in our client base where people have been tricked. They thought Citibank was calling them. Citibank told them to go ahead and call Microsoft. They did. It was a bad guy. And the people who acted like they were Microsoft did some bad things on their account to the point of exfiltrating money. So this is what happens. And so these breaches are a big problem.
Okay, so to avoid any of this, look up the phone number of Microsoft yourself.
Correct.
Okay, but call LendingTree
directly
with a phone number that they gave you,
right.
But like that you found. It's on your paperwork,
right?
And say, did you call me? No.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Yep.
Always be cynical. Always assume the call you're getting, the call or email you're getting, assume is a scam.
Okay, I can do that. I always assume I'm bad that way. I always assume guilt before innocence with my kids.
Yep.
So I know it's not a good way to deal, but I always try to, are you lying to me?
Right. You and I would get along very well.
Okay. Excellent. I can babysit your kids. All right. I thought this was a funny thing when you told me what it was, a mouse jiggler.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that? What is that?
Basically, you can go online and for some reason, the Gen Zers and even the Gen A's now think that they can go ahead and get a job and get paid to do nothing. And so they would buy these mouse jigglers because they work remotely. Nobody's monitoring them. And so these mouse jigglers would jiggle the mouse to show activity, right? Well, obviously, eventually there's software out there that these folks don't really have a clue about that really tracks everything you do on your computer, like a DVR for what you do. And so Wells Fargo figured out, you're just jiggling the mouse, buddy. You're not doing any work. And so they got let go.
And they were all bent out of shape. I remember people were mad. I'm like, what are you mad for?
Exactly.
You were cheating at work. So
right. Well, they're participating at work, right? So they had a participation trophy all their lives, and they started participating at work figuring, let's just jiggle the mouse. I'm participating.
It doesn't work that way.
It does not. So they got let go. So if you're jiggling the mouse working remotely, you may not have a job for much longer.
Okay. Yeah, that can happen. And I also had a laugh. You sent me this story about a self-driving car that hit a pole until they updated the firmware. Shouldn't they be on top of that?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I love Elon and Tesla's and the idea of them, but self-driving cars, they just tend to run into emergency vehicles and telephone poles. And yes, there's going to be a recall. This case, it's a Waymo, which is a Google product. I don't think your stuff is ready for prime time if you're running into telephone poles and emergency vehicles. Let's rethink this a little bit.
Right. There's a company called Microsoft, right? I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but they do automatic updates. So
yes.
Maybe the car people should learn that.
They maybe should learn that. The problem with Microsoft and their automatic updates is then your computer doesn't work after they happen. So I wouldn't want that to happen with my car.
Oh, all right. Well, nobody's perfect at this point. Jeez.
It is difficult.
Oh, I love it. Eric Semmel, Tab Computers. Again, he's on Saturday morning, 9 to 11, right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Corey.